clearly what's happening in the church with regard to attending, serving, being involved in groups is not doing what we think as pastors to prevent divorce, right? That's number one. But then number two is that couples may not be honest in assessing their marriage.
Right.
Because like you said, they're continuing to do what they always do. They're trying to do what they're being told to do, actually, from the church. Keep attending, get into a group, but it's not scratching the itch in a sense. It's not really solving the problem.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ. Welcome to Empowered Manhood.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empowered Manhood. Man, we're grateful to be back again with you. My name is Mike Hatch, and we're here again, as usual, with Chris Bollinger. Good to be back with you, Chris.
Hey, good to be here.
Definitely. So today, Chris, we're going to be talking about, well, and this is going to be a two-part series. So this is episode one of that two-part series. We're going to talk about divorce today. And having dealt with, obviously, as a men's pastor myself, many times, men going through divorce, it is a challenge. It's a challenge for the church. It's a challenge for pastors. And mostly, obviously, it's a challenge for those who are going through it. Having watched many folks go through it myself, I personally think it's one of the most horrendous, horrific, painful experiences anybody can experience. And Chris, you've been through it yourself.
Right.
We know that. So I would also just recommend if you'd like to hear more about Chris's story, you can go back just a couple episodes and hear his story and how he shares about that and the way God met you in the midst of that really hard time for you. So Chris, we wanted to start out in this episode talking about some of the basically information about divorce and men who are going through divorce. And you've got some surprising stats we're going to get to walk through as well that were really shocking to me for sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk a little bit about the challenges that churches are facing with regard to this issue. So why don't you start us out with some of these, some of the information that you've gleaned over the years.
Okay. Yeah. I thrive on information. I thrive on data. And so, when I went through my divorce, after that, I wanted to find out as much as I could about it. It just helps me. It helped me cope.
Yeah.
And so I started with, how many people like me, how many men like me have been through divorce? Like you said, it's frequent enough that you've dealt with it and any pastor's going to deal with it. Anybody's going to deal with it these days. I mean, everybody's affected by it in one way or another.
Yeah.
So I started off with some survey information, and we'll post all the links so that you can take a look at this information that we're sharing. And you can certainly find other sources that will give you probably a little bit of some different stats, but I think they'll be pretty similar to what we're going to share today.
Yep.
So my source for the first one is Institute for Family Studies. And the reason I went with them was I was looking at a lot of different sources, and they seemed to be very consistent and very thorough in the information they presented. So the first one is, okay, how many U.S. adults have been through at least one divorce? And, you know, typically we hear it's about half of people, and that's a little bit higher than what it really is. It's about 45% of U.S. adults have been through at least one divorce.
So that's a pretty broad category. Out of all U.S. adults, it's about 45%, which is
who have been married. So
we've been married.
Just to clarify.
Thank you.
So U.S. adults who have been married, what percentage of them have been through one divorce? So,
And that in itself was a little bit of a surprise to me. I expected it to be over 50%.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. And we'll try to, I mean, it's a very difficult subject, and obviously I'm biased by my own experience. I'm going to try to avoid the bias and avoid dealing with anything but the numbers right now.
Okay.
So now among the people who've been divorced, they looked at religious affiliation. Mm-hmm. And probably not surprisingly, those who had no religious affiliation were higher than average. So it was 48%, not a lot higher, but a little bit higher than average, than the overall number. And so we've talked about this before, so I can't grill you and get your impressions of what the numbers are. One thing that was surprising to me was that they differentiate between so-called mainline Protestants and evangelical Protestants. Mm-hmm. And those were both exactly the same, and they were both 45%. So the average, so no difference between people who are at least claiming to be mainline Protestants or evangelical Protestants.
Yep.
So that's a little disconcerting that people who are Christians are going through this at the same rate as people who are not.
Yeah.
Catholics were actually lower. They were 37%. Still.
Interesting.
Higher than I think anybody in the Catholic Church would like, but lower than Protestants. And so then the next thing that you typically hear is that, well, people who go to church, you know, that's people who claim to be Christians. Maybe they don't actually practice their faith. Maybe they're, you know, very irregular attenders, but people who go to church are going to be a lot lower. That's what I typically hear.
Yep.
And that actually is true according to the Institute for Family Studies. So regular churchgoers are lower, but I think I may have asked you this before, but what do you think the percentage is for regular churchgoers, given that it's lower?
I would think it'd be maybe around 35 or 40%, I think is what I may have guessed.
It's 37%. So it's lower, but it's not a lot lower. It's the same as Catholics.
Interesting.
Catholics are, you know, a lot of Catholics are regular churchgoers. So that kind of follows.
And Catholics, I know the Catholic faith, they see marriage as a sacrament. And so where the Protestant faith, typically we don't. And so they have maybe a more dogmatic idea or approach to marriage in some sense. And there's, I think, maybe more of a stigma associated with divorce, even more so than the Protestant church, that probably keeps that number low, would be my guess.
Right. I would guess the same. Yeah. Okay, so wanting to delve in more into the churchgoers, given that I have always been a regular churchgoer, I go pretty much every week, sometimes more than once. And so what are people like me experiencing when it comes to divorce? So I dug into that, and my source for this was Lifeway Research, which Lifeway, if I remember right, is affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. So
that's right.
Mm-hmm. But they try to remain unbiased. They just try to do the surveys and get the information back. And so they did a very interesting study. And before I get into that, I will ask you a question I haven't asked you before.
Okay.
Given that you're a pastor, what percentage of Protestant pastors would say that at least one couple in their church has separated or divorced in the past year? So now, given, you know, churches are different sizes, right?
That's
so this could be a mega church pastor, or this could be somebody who has a church of 50 people.
Oh man. So that makes it tricky.
What percent of Protestant pastors would you think experience this on an annual basis, given that response to the question?
I'm guessing 85%.
Okay, it is lower than that, which
really
is good news. Yeah, it was
okay.
About
40%. Whoa!
So 40%.
That's it.
That it's happened in the past year, right?
So okay,
that's a good sign, right?
That is a good sign.
But still, 40% every year,
and
this is your church, right? So if you had a smaller church, that would be, I guess, not so positive. But in a big church, that would obviously be positive.
I was going to say, yeah, because in my experience, every single year I was a pastor, there was somebody who was getting divorced or had gotten divorced. And again, I was at a bigger church where you've got attendance of, you know, between 2,000 and 3,000 on a weekend.
Right.
So that probably plays into it, but 40%, that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that encouraging. Is it's encouraging unless it's, you know, small church pastors are saying no. And the bigger church pastors are saying, oh yeah, it's, you know, it's monthly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
not sure how to interpret that, but I figured I would ask you that.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the LifeWay research study. So what they did was they looked at regular churchgoers, and this is people who go at least once a month,
mm-hmm.
which may not be as regular as, you know, we would think, but that's, you know, at least once a month they're going to church.
Yeah.
And they looked at several groups. One of them was people who had healthy marriages. So these are couples who go to church mm-hmm. at least once a month and they have a pretty healthy marriage.
Yeah.
And then they looked at couples who were regular churchgoers who ended up being separated or divorced.
Okay.
And they looked at the behavior of that second group was 3 months before the separation or divorce. So this is not like, did you used to go to church regularly?
Mm-hmm.
These were people mm-hmm. who were going to church at least once a month.
Yeah.
And then, 3 months later, they ended up getting separated or divorced. Okay. So I will ask you some questions here. So among those regular churchgoers, these are people who attended once a week.
Okay.
So I'll just tell you, okay. Among healthy marriages, so among couples who had healthy marriages, 87% of them were going at least once a week.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense.
So among those who ended up getting divorced
mm-hmm.
3 months later or separated, what percentage of them do you think would have been going to church every week?
Yeah, I would very much assume a lower percentage. Maybe it's more like 30%.
Okay. It was lower. I would say significantly lower based on my experience with statistics, but it was still mm-hmm. 70%.
Oh, wow.
So 70% yeah. of couples who mm. got separated or divorced were attending as a couple.
Yeah.
Every week.
Wow.
So that was shocking to me.
Yeah. That is surprising.
But it gets more interesting. Not in a good way. So they looked at several other metrics involved in a small group
mm-hmm.
and 41% of healthy of couples with healthy marriages were involved in a small group. Serving in community ministry, 31% of mm-hmm. couples with healthy marriages are serving in a community ministry, and okay. 45% of couples with a healthy marriage held positions of responsibility in the church. That could be a staff position. It could be a significant volunteer position, maybe serving on the church elder mm-hmm. board or council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and you and I already went over these numbers, so I won't belabor the point, but there was almost no difference between these numbers and yeah. those who got divorced. In fact, in some cases, the people who got separated or divorced actually were higher. So 41% of healthy married couples were in a small group. It was 46%.
Wow.
Of those. So it was actually higher. Not statistically significantly higher, but it was higher.
Yeah.
Serving in a community ministry, it was higher. 34% versus 31%. Held positions of responsibility in the church, it was a little bit lower on the troubled marriage side, 39% of troubled marriages versus 45% of healthy.
Wow.
But really, so I mean, statistically, almost no difference. And so surprisingly high in terms of attending church once a week. So yeah. basically, when you and I talked about this before, we concluded that you have no idea. Yeah, when you're looking at the congregation, when you're looking at involvement, when you're looking at, you know, because what metrics do we use? Going to church every week?
That's it. Yep.
70% of people who ended up getting separated or divorced going to church every week. Involved in a small group, higher than average. Wow. Involved in community ministry, higher than the healthy couples. And, you know, in a position of leadership of the church, pretty much the same. So I found these numbers to be shocking and disconcerting.
Yeah.
And you being in ministry, I mean, it's got to be just an absolute eye-opener.
It is, because I would, as a pastor, I would assume without a doubt that someone's attending regularly, involved in a group, or serving together, that they are way less likely to be, a victim of divorce like that. That absolutely is surprising, and it is disconcerting. And I think as pastors, it should cause us to kind of flip our radar up in a sense, because it's really hard to tell just based on the metrics we normally use in churches for people's spiritual well-being, which is what I just like in our church, we used to say, are they attending regularly? Are they involved in a small group? Are they serving and or giving financially? Those are kind of the three or four criteria we would use. And most churches do. Well, guess what? According to this, what we just learned is that will not be a clear determining factor of people with their risk for divorce.
You simply can't tell. And I will say, you know, again, I'm trying to leave my own personal experience out of this, but my ex-wife and I attended church every week together. We're serving in the church, serving in ministries related to the church in a small group. We ticked all the boxes.
So then would you say, and I know I'm kind of sidetracking a little bit, but I'm just curious about this. So do you think you and your wife during that time, were you kind of compartmentalizing in a sense, like church experience and what was going on in your marriage? You know, like was your marriage issues, was it something that was that, I don't know, that you didn't let out, I guess?
I mean, we obviously had issues. I would say, and I don't know entirely why we did what we did, but I would say part of it was we didn't want anybody to know. And the easiest, if we had, you know, if one of us had stopped attending, and we had kids too. So, I mean, you know, the kids knew there were issues, but I don't think they, you know, recognized that divorce was imminent. I think a lot of it, there was some hope there that, you know, maybe if we keep doing this, that things will get better. There was some avoiding, trying to avoid people knowing that we had issues. And I mean, we're both practicing Christians, you know. We go to church. We serve in the church. I mean,
it was just what you did. It was your normal rhythm.
I mean, I don't think things are going to get any better if you drop out of church. You know, it didn't seem to make sense to me. So, and again, I can only speak for myself, but I do know other people both at that church and other churches who have had very similar experiences where you're not willfully going through the motions. You're trying to be a good Christian.
Yeah, you're hopefully going through it, hoping that it will
going through it with
change things,
and you're obviously praying about it, and you're hoping things will get better. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about. So we've talked about the prevalence of divorce in churches, and we've talked about the surprising fact that it's very difficult to tell who's going through this. Now let's talk a little bit about men, and we'll talk a lot more about this in the next episode, but I want to touch on the impact of men because it's the Empowered Men
podcast. Right.
And we're men and I've been through this. Right. So I think it's very relevant.
So we need to make sure we preface, and you just did, that this is, we're not saying this to the exclusion of women and what they're going through. We're just focusing
on men and the impact on men.
Yeah.
And I think we should, you know, I don't think we said this up front. You know, divorce is a very bad thing. We're not encouraging people to get divorced. We're hoping and praying that people in troubled marriages will find resolution and continue as married couples. It's what God wants.
Yep.
In the vast majority of cases. But I think we need to be realistic and talk about what happens to men when they get divorced.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the quote typical couple who's going to church. So we're not talking about me. We're talking about a couple. They're Christians. They're going to church every week. They're in a small group. They're in a troubled marriage. And then the marriage ends.
Mm-hmm.
In what percentage of these situations does the wife initiate the separation and the divorce?
Yeah.
And what we talked about when we shared this off air was it's about 70% of the time. And this is consistent with a number of sources. We'll share a source, but this is consistent in a number of sources. So let's talk about the impact on men in a second. But, you know, as a pastor, when you're caught off guard, when you, you see a couple who's been, you know, active in the church, and then it becomes known that the wife has initiated a divorce.
Yeah.
What is your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction is, okay, how are we going to save this marriage?
Right.
And then it would be typically to want to be able to call both parties into, if possible, the husband and the wife in to meet and talk through what's going on.
Okay.
That would be my initial reaction. Well, okay, let me back up a second, because it may end up being that I have the conversation with the wife first to find out the reasoning. That may actually go first in order, if you will. But then for sure, I'd want to have both of them in to talk about it, which typically has, in my experience, has been very difficult to do. Because at that point, now they're adversaries and they don't want to be, you know what I mean? There's that.
Right.
Yeah.
And what will the man and the woman in that situation typically do? It's been initiated.
Mm-hmm.
So they're typically going to look for allies, right? So they're going to try to find people who will support them in this challenging time. And you're going to try to stay out of that, right? Because you don't want to take sides. This is a bad thing. You don't want to take sides.
Initially, that's right. Initially, as a pastor, I think the goal is not to take sides and to try to help them sort through things, to bring both to a positive resolution, obviously.
Right.
But eventually, as you walk down that road far enough, you end up having to. You can't, as a pastor, you can't stay neutral the entire time. At some point, you end up having to take a side, if you will.
So I would think that the average person who hasn't taken sides when the woman initiates the divorce would tend to think that she has cause, she has reason.
Sure.
And so I think a lot of us would say, well, maybe he was unfaithful. We would tend to look at the man and say, well, if she filed, then at least part of the blame must rest on his shoulders. I think it's just human nature to assume that.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times in the church, we say, well, you know, the only biblical grounds for divorce, and I could get into this in a whole nother podcast, but we tend to say God hates divorce, but if there's a cause, then adultery would certainly be one that the church would accept if the divorce is going to go through. And you and I talked about this before. There are many cases where marriages survive adultery.
Oh yeah.
I don't have great statistics on this, but it's very, very high.
Yep.
Hey guys, this is Mike Hatch. Thank you so much for listening to the Empowered Manhood podcast. I wanted to encourage you to check out the amazing men's devotional, Daily Strength for Men. It's actually one of the best-selling men's devotionals on Amazon right now, and it's written by our very own co-host, Chris Bollinger. Make sure you check that out. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it if you decide to join a CLC Getting Real group somewhere near you. And to that point, if you're interested in learning more about CLC, make sure you jump on our website at clchq.org. That's clchq.org. Or if you're a pastor and want to learn more about CLC, you can email me at mhatch@clchq.org. Again, that's mhatch@clchq.org.
I guess my point is that the guy is now in a position of being on defense in many situations. The wife has initiated the divorce and people are looking to him as, well, what did you do?
And he's surprised himself many times.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Right. Right. And I think that's a good point is every divorce is unique and it's difficult to boil this down to statistics, which we've given some numbers.
Yeah.
But I went digging into, okay, well, why do women initiate most divorces given that marriages survive infidelity? And obviously if there's unrepentant unrepentant infidelity or unrepentant mm-hmm. abuse, or, you know, if
yeah.
there are some situations where the guy is at fault and he won't mm-hmm. repent.
Yeah.
Even sure. in a Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found mostly in secular publications, such as Psychology Today, is that women who initiate divorce tend to be dissatisfied with the marriage more than the man is. Mm. The man oftentimes, and again, we're generalizing, but oftentimes yeah. the man is concerned more with the fact that his wife is dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
He understands there are issues in the marriage, but he in general is content to stay in the marriage and the wife is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, that's generalizing over many, many situations.
Right.
But I think it is fair to say that the husband often is surprised.
Yeah.
When the wife initiates, he thought they were working on it. He thought that there was hope in the marriage surviving, and she has concluded that there is not.
Yeah.
And so he is now in a position of being surprised that this is done. And I wrote an article for Crosswalk. I actually wrote several articles a couple years ago on the impact of divorce on men. I think we can't minimize the impact on men mm-hmm. in just about all divorces, especially when he is caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, and there is no reconciliation and this is going to happen or this has happened.
Yeah.
And I just wrote down some of the impact on men. And I liken it to a bomb exploding in the man's life. And again, not trying to minimize the impact on women. Obviously, right. they're going to go through something very, very similar.
Right.
But in terms of men, when your marriage ends, it is like a death.
Yep.
It's been likened to a death without a funeral.
Yep.
Now you're dealing with your hopes, dreams, and plans being done because yep. you're in a marriage. Everything that you have planned for has been the marriage and the family. If you have mm-hmm. kids, a large part of your identity, both in the church as well as outside the church, is now done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's consider at church. You were always a couple and a family at church. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And now you're not. Now you're an individual and you're part of a broken family.
Right.
Your children, your role as a father and other roles in your extended family are now completely different. I mean, mm-hmm. with the kids, you were always a team. And now you're, as you said, now you're many times combatants, your opponents yeah.
right.
in this. And so you have to navigate that. Your relationships in the church, your relationships outside the church with family members, friends, coworkers, and others are now all different.
Yep.
You were in a small group until last week.
Yep.
Now you're not going back to the small group because it was a couple small group.
Yep. And now you have to figure out how to explain because every other couple in the small group is going to take their side.
Yep.
And it just, it ruins all that, relational, maybe security you may have felt beforehand.
Right. Your finances just took a big hit, not just because of the settlement, but again, it's not going to be the same. Your financial picture will not be the same. Your health. And I think we minimize this a lot, not just your emotional health, but your spiritual health and your physical health will take a beating for some period of time. And it could be years where you're just not the same.
No. Oh, and I've seen that. Oh my gosh. Have I seen that in men over and over again? I mean, it is like a part of them. Obviously you said it's like a death without a funeral, but part of that man dies.
Yeah.
And they are very different, at least for a time. Because like you said, they found their identity in the marriage and the family. Now it's like, who am I now? You question everything.
Yep. And the next, and related to that, as part of your health, is your self-esteem, your confidence, your emotional well-being, your ability to focus at work, elsewhere. I mean, you're a failure. I mean, let's face it, whether or not you were at fault, your marriage has failed, you are a failure. And you will bear that stigma for the rest of your life, even when you get remarried. If you get remarried, for the rest of your life, you are a divorced man whose marriage failed. And for most men, they will feel like a failure for the rest of their lives. What could I have done differently? What did I do wrong? You know,
it's interesting too, as you share that, a couple of things stick out to me. That number one, men typically aren't aware of how unsatisfied their wife might be, even when maybe she at times will try to communicate to him about it.
Even when they've gone to counseling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of men will work the problem, like they said in Apollo 13, let's work the problem. And the problem is a relationship, and it's difficult to work the problem with a relationship. It's, you know, there's not one thing you can fix and then the marriage is back on track. So I think, guys may have been to counseling. It may have been years that this has been a problem, and, but they struggle with it.
And then on the wife side, and here's where I think some of pop culture comes into this. When you think of, you know, movies like 50 Shades of Grey, for example, or, there's another Netflix, movie that I saw pop up. And it was unbelievable. I actually couldn't believe it. It's like another example of 50 Shades of Grey, except this lady's married and she's dreaming about this other man, this other possibility. And it's really interesting how culture is starting to influence women to think that maybe they need to start looking for something more or better, or that they deserve better. And I think sometimes women are more unsatisfied, maybe, than even they let on, or that maybe their mind and their heart are somewhere else, even though they're still married, and they can carry that, you know, that dissatisfaction with them for a long time before things turn south and they decide to file.
We can blame the culture. We can blame a lot of institutions and individuals, but the culture has not been working in support of marriage and the family for a long time. So I don't think we can blame women, or, there's plenty of blame to go around. But I do think that the wrong things are being reinforced, and, churches struggle here too. Churches are all about marriage and the family. But 31% of people said that they did not feel comfortable going to anybody in the church to state that they're having marital issues. And I know churches are open, you know, encouraging people to, you know, come to the pastors, find somebody in the church, find somebody on staff who can help you. They have counseling referral services. Churches are doing the best they can, but
there were two things that two observations that I wrote down as we kind of transition in a sense to the challenge that churches face with this. Is number one, clearly what's happening in the church with regard to attending, serving, being involved in groups is not doing what we think as pastors to prevent divorce. Right. That's number one. But then number two is that couples may not be honest in assessing their marriage.
Because
like you said, they're continuing to do what they always do. They're trying to do what they're being told to do, actually, from the church. Keep attending, get into a group. But for whatever reason, it's not scratching the itch in a sense. It's not really solving the problem. And by the way, so at this point too, I do just want to interject this recommendation, because I've been through this program myself. Our church has done it, and it has had a big impact. There's a program called Reengage. It's a marriage course that people go through. And I know my wife and I have been through it a couple of times, and it's very good. I equate it to almost like Celebrate Recovery for marriages, in a sense. And the way the questions are worded, the way you actually, because here, part of, you know, from my pastoral perspective, part of the problem is that you don't always necessarily address directly the issues with regard to your marriage in your small groups.
Right.
Unless it is a small group that intentionally addresses those issues, and Re-Engage does that in a really, really fantastic way to get you to start talking about some of that stuff that you wouldn't otherwise be talking about in kind of a generic small group. So that, anyway, those are kind of the two things, and we'll put that in the show notes. If you want to check out Re-Engage, it's from a church in Texas, and great program. But yeah, those two things, number one, the church isn't really having a big effect on marriages in terms of preventing them from divorce. And then number two, couples aren't necessarily being honest about it.
Right. Yeah. Marriage enrichment is a great thing. And I think that there are tactical things that churches can do to get people into marriage enrichment, such as, and I've seen this practice at churches I've attended, couples with healthy marriages go anyway. You know, they encourage everybody to go. It's not like, hey, let's fix your broken marriage in this session thing. It's more of a, let's make your marriage better. Whether it's great or whether it's troubled, let's give you some tools and some practices to make your marriage stronger, because every marriage can be made stronger.
We had a couple that we met with, my wife and I, during, I don't know if it was probably years 7 through 10-ish maybe, where, oh my gosh, there was an older couple in their late 60s, early 70s who mentored us and would meet with us. And it was just kind of a marriage mentoring thing. No real issues, you know, specifically to address, but as you meet together, you get to know them and you trust them and you start sharing more vulnerably, man, we shared some of our darkest moments with them because it came along and were committed to us relationally. And that made a huge, huge impact on our marriage to have that mentoring couple build into us and encourage us in our marriage.
Yeah. All right. Good sidelight there. Good topic. So I think we will wrap up this particular session just by talking again about the challenges for guys that have been through this in a church setting. So the final thought I'll leave, and this has been, you know, kind of a downer. This whole session has been kind of a downer.
Yeah.
We do have some more encouraging things to share in the next podcast on this topic, but I don't want to minimize the fact that, you know, men who have been through a divorce in a church setting are profoundly impacted by it. And unfortunately, many of them do not get the support that they need in their church, and it has lasting repercussions. So about half, no, it's higher than that. A large percentage of couples who go through a divorce do not both stay in that church. And that's not surprising. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I will make sure that we post them. But it kind of goes without saying that in many, many instances, one or both of the people in that marriage that has ended are going to leave that particular church.
Yeah.
My research indicates that it's usually the man, not always, but usually the man who leaves that church. And unfortunately, at least 20% of the divorced men don't go back to church. They never go back. I think it's actually a little higher than that. I think it's closer to 30%. So this is a challenge and an opportunity for the men who are listening to this podcast to embrace and take on, is that there's a lot of walking wounded out there in your circles. And too many times men don't just leave their local church. They walk away from their faith. It's such a terrible ordeal they go through, and they get so little support from the people that they thought were their biggest supporters in their local church.
Yeah.
That they leave that church. And then they never find another church that they can call home. So there's lots of men out there who we as men can reach out to and can help who have been through this. And it doesn't have to be, you know, they just went through the divorce 3 months ago. It could be years.
Yep.
And these guys have their lives have been broken. Their faith walk has been broken, and they're still not back on track.
Yeah. And so the good news is this next episode, so part two of this, we're going to talk about how you can walk alongside and help your brother who's going through a divorce. So make sure you check out part two.